Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. Season's greetings to all our viewers out there. We hope you've had a wonderful Diwali and are filled with optimism about the year that lies ahead. This week on Money Money Money, we talk about what the super rich have been up to when it comes to their wealth, given the market volatility and the stress that we've seen in the fixed income market in particular. So what options can HNIs look at this year? Equity or private equity, investment in India or in the global markets, PMS, structured products, AIFs? Well, we are going to be covering the whole gamut. My guests are Amrita Farman, CEO at Ambit Wealth Management, and Somnath Mukherjee, Managing Partner at ASK Wealth Advisors. Thanks to both of you for joining in. Season's greetings and happy Diwali to you as well.
Same.
So let me start by asking you, Amrita, first things first, how's the Josh? Is there any Josh left at all, considering the roller coaster that we've been on?
Yeah. No, I think that first I'd like to wish you and your viewers a very happy Diwali.
Thank you.
And see, there's no denying, Surabhi, that it has been a difficult year. And it has been a difficult year across asset classes. So you've seen equity, which has traditionally been a growth asset for our investors in India. I mean, you've seen, while the Nifty has held its own, but mid-cap and small-cap have really seen drawdowns. Fixed income, where the thesis of it being a low-risk asset class has been really tested this year. Real estate, which has traditionally been a large part of HNI allocations, has been in a cycle for the last 4 or 5 years, and that's continued. So these three asset classes, which are a bulk of, you know, what you invest in, like anywhere between 50 to 75% of your portfolio, has seen erosion of wealth. So at the back of that, right, I think that there has been a flight, if you want to call it that, to safety. Mm-hmm. I think the mood is more about preserving capital than what we are used to in India, to look for growth opportunities and look for growth capital appreciation. New money, incremental money, has not gone into growth opportunities. So it's been a risk-off kind of mode, and that will take some time to get out of, you know. So while you look ahead and there are positives to look at, but, you know, you have to be careful about how the future pans out.
Okay, so careful investing, I guess that's what the last 12 months have been all about. Somnath, your own reading and do you agree with the points that Amrita made in terms of just being a little risk off?
Yes, absolutely. The markets have been not so supportive. And that's across all the asset classes, as Amrita mentioned. And therefore, investors have taken the brunt of it, and the natural reaction is to be on risk-off mode. The other thing that has happened is that while the broader markets have sort of held up, a lot of investor allocations, which is traditionally towards actively managed portfolios, they haven't done all that well. So for the first time in India, we've seen a range of actively managed portfolios significantly underperforming the broader markets. Now that has put in an added layer of confusion, also aversion towards taking fresh exposures. So it's been a year of cautiousness and risk off certainly.
Okay. Amrita, you mentioned this was also a year where there was a flight to safety. What emerged as the definition of safety? Where was this money going?
So, you know, I think that's a very good question because, you know, traditionally when you have looked at asset allocation, you have looked at various asset classes and decided that, you know, fixed income is low risk, equity is higher risk.
Sure.
Private equity is higher risk.
Absolutely.
And that's got invalidated.
That's been tested and how this
That's
year.
Got invalidated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that we are moving towards saying asset allocation is really about low and high risk within the asset class. And you've got to then like match it to the profile of your, you know, what your objectives are, what your risk profile is. I think that's been the big one to look at across asset classes and say, okay, what is low risk here in, for example, in fixed income? There is high risk in fixed income. And frankly, you know, to be fair to investors, I mean, much of the turbulence that happened initially started with companies that were looked at as being very solid. So it is not like you expected that it would start there. But I think that the year has taught us to say that, you know, on fixed income, you are looking at an allocation where capital protection is the, is the objective. So go for good quality companies, go for good quality credits. But you can have a higher risk or a higher allocation to some part of your fixed income portfolio, which is towards, you know, structured credit, because there is an opportunity, you know, in that market.
How much have some of these structured products yielded, and if going forward in the next 1 year as well, what's your return expectation on them?
So on a pre-tax basis, if you get the credit right in terms of making sure that the company is inherently good, while it's difficult to predict what might happen in the next 6-12 months, because there is turbulence in the sector. But if you're really choosy about your credit, you could look at a pre-tax return between 10 to 12%.
Okay, fair enough.
So, you know, that is what is happening.
You have to be just very careful about what you're investing in, whom you're investing in. Somnath, let's take the conversation forward since we started with fixed income. What have been, let's say, some of the most painful lessons maybe that you and your clients have had to go through? And now that we've realized that fixed income is neither fixed nor is it entirely risk-free, where are you advising people to put their money?
So one of the biggest lessons that that the investing community, and that's not just HNI investors but also serious institutional investors, have learned is that in India, credit has not been priced efficiently. So lack of efficient pricing of credit has meant lopsided investment decisions. And there are structural issues around that, especially on the corporate credit side. The biggest of them being the lack of liquidity. The moniker of ratings at AAA, we have seen that at the first sign of stress, liquidity of AAA rated bonds vanish from the market. I think going forward, people will be a lot more careful in terms of how they look at credit, how they are priced, and how they are positioned in client portfolios. So allocations to credit will hopefully become more efficient. The price discovery of credit risk will become hopefully a little bit more balanced. And that will all be good in the long run for investing and investors.
But as an HNI, now let's say to the 50% of your portfolio that you want to keep in fixed income, Amrita mentioned structured products could be one way to go. How else do you allocate this money? Where should it go?
So so structured products is a wrapper, right? You can have mutual funds, you could have fixed income AIFs, you can have structured products. But clearly, as of now, it is given the pricing and the spreads available in the market, the only space that has value is the sovereign and the AAA space, because that is still trending at record high real interest rates in India. That is still giving very decent pickup over a vanilla fixed deposit. And selected wisely and properly, that still cuts out the liquidity and the default risk that people have been shaken by right now.
So good old fashioned sovereign bonds.
Absolutely, sovereigns and true AAAs.
Okay.
The other end of the spectrum, which is you know, you start going down the risk of, you know, AA, A, etc., have to be extremely selective. And have to be very, very choosy on whether you're rewarded well enough for the risk being taken.
So now, you know, let's talk about equities as an asset class. This is a year where if you had the top-notch 10 stocks, you were absolutely fine. If you had anything else in between or below, then chances are your portfolio would have been bleeding. Amrita, now what are you telling your clients? Is it time to go into mid-caps? And in general, I mean, I'm guessing some of your clients also come in through the PMS route.
Right.
How do you go about selecting? Because PMSs as well have had a patchy record depending on which manager you've been with, right?
Right. So you're right. So one is that, you know, equity by itself, the last couple of years have been good, where Nifty has held up, but mid-cap and small-cap, in fact, over the last 2 years have given negative returns. So you have seen a erosion of value in that segment. And, you know, when you look at equity, you know, you have to, of course, plan the short term, but you have to keep the long term in place, in mind, when you plan your portfolio over a long period of time. So what we have seen, at least for HNI and, you know, ultra HNI family office clients, is that the risk capital that is being invested into equities, right, has moved towards, as you mentioned, PMS and AIFs, where there is specialized funds, there are specialized fund managers with good track records. There is There is a trend towards looking clearly, and you know that is transformational for us. Mm. There's a trend to look for quality. So a lot of the smart money in equities is chasing quality, right? Mm. And I think that's a good equation to get right, because the markets are rewarding companies that are good business models, that have high corporate governance, that have high quality management, ethical promoters. So markets are actually rewarding that, which is a good equation for us to have in the longer run. There is a case being that is seeming to be there for mid cap and small cap from a valuation perspective, and it is not just that the prices have been beaten down. If you start looking at earnings, for example, there is positive earnings in mid cap, but the sentiment is not right. Now when the sentiment turns right, we can't predict, and what will lead for that to turn, we can't see.
All right, Somnath, what's the advice that you're giving people when it comes to equity investment this year?
Stick to the larger end of the capitalization spectrum.
Not looking at mid caps and small caps, really?
Not really. We're not convinced that valuations in mid cap have really come down because they might have simply adjusted to a new reality. With greater formalization, GST, demonetization a couple of years back, the impact, downstream impact of that, it is the larger incumbent companies that tend to gather more of the benefits. Plus, on top of that, we have recurring corporate governance issues, which are not typical for India. They're the case in most emerging markets around the world. And given that, we see that most of the benefits of the cycle turning will initially also accrue disproportionately to the larger companies.
Okay, so you're more large and
even in terms of the valuations, you look at the mid-cap pack, you know, at a top-down level, it looks that the valuations have come off. But knock off the big sectors. I mean, will you invest in say, the NBFCs on the mid-cap side? Mostly no, and that's not a... will you invest in metals on the mid-cap side? You knock off metals, you knock off NBFCs, what is left isn't a huge amount. So, and then what is left when you come to pick and choose stocks isn't necessarily, a lot of choice right up there.
So we've discussed fixed income, we've discussed equity, but now I want sort of, a bird's eye view. If you are to look at all possible asset classes, including overseas market, including, I remember last year when I had this conversation with some of your colleagues from the industry, there was talk about investing in stressed assets funds, and there's obviously private equity. So make a portfolio for us, and how would you sort of allocate money?
While we've been seeing in the last couple of years that public markets have had the beating that they've had, but there is a whole different set of companies that have come up in the unlisted space that are raising capital there. And capital is easily available there. Not as easily as maybe a couple of years ago, but it is available there. So a lot of the disruption you have seen, say for example, in auto and public markets, on the private markets, you have companies, say for example, like Ola and Uber India, which have created valuation. So if you look at overall in the unlisted space, right, if we go by multiple reports, you're talking about $100 to $150 billion of value that has been created in that market. And it is across sectors, right? It is in financials. So we've lost so much in financials. But fintech has done so well. Retail has been challenging, but e-commerce has done so well. So I think a lot of the H&I money in the last few years has started to go here. You have to be cautious because these are newer models. You know, there is high rate of, there is a probability of failure in the business model itself. So this is a risky asset class, no doubt. But a large part of it is so far been funded by overseas funds and offshore money. And over the last 3-4 years, you're seeing a lot of interest from Indian families to say that, you know, these are companies that in the next 10-15 years could be some of our largest companies in the country. So these are companies to put your money into.
So that's where,
so depending on the size of your portfolio, right, you could look at investing through funds. And we have funds, we have a full range of fund managers that are really high quality. And one of the trends we have noticed is that many of the global funds, the managers, that the GPs that worked over there, are setting up their own practices. So you are getting the skill and the talent to invest into companies which they think are, you know, will provide over the next 5, 7, 8, 9 years good opportunities. So in the alternates asset class, the biggest interest has been in looking at unlisted, early stage, as well as growth capital.
Okay, yeah. Got that. How do you look at this space, Somna?
So private markets has been exceedingly exciting last couple of years. Indian investors had actually burnt their hands in the first flush of private market investments, which started somewhere in 2005, 2006. Many of them didn't do all that well. Several of them destroyed capital. But last few years, we have seen a revival in interest, dominated initially by foreign money, but increasingly domestic high net worths, especially professionals and businessmen, have been very keenly looking at private market investments, both via funds as well as directly.
And how are valuations right now? I mean, are they still at even levels? Is there still something left on the table?
Yes. So the good thing that has happened is that private market valuations typically tend to follow public market valuations. So they have corrected.
Okay.
So in line with public markets, several of them have corrected. The best companies, they still require the top dollar, but in the early stage investing side, even in the you know, Series C, Series D kind of levels, for companies that are still sort of in discovery mode, as the startup world keeps saying, you know, day one mode, the valuations there are a little bit more reasonable than they were same time last year.
Okay.
That's clearly an exciting space, and we see a very, very large amount of interest. In fact, allocations are going up there.
Okay, so as we come down to last thoughts, I mean, do share names of interesting managers that you like, or maybe even funds. I mean, these are just examples, these are not really recommendations. And funds cutting across, as you said, early stage investing, or maybe real estate, we haven't discussed that. Global markets, because a lot of HNIs do want to park and have some exposure at least in overseas, either real estate or equity. So just some of the routes and some of the funds that perhaps you think are worth looking at this year.
On the private market side, we've raised a little bit of money for the Chirate. They've done over the last several years a very good job on the early stage investing side. Global investments, 100%. Indian money is, resident Indian money, is almost exclusively dominated by one asset class, which is rupee. There are ways in which people can invest overseas, and to the extent that's possible, that to the extent the opportunities are there, people should explore and diversify into other markets.
Do you have any sort of funds that you specifically like?
US equities. I mean, for want of when people are starting. Just invest in an ETF, an S&P ETF or a NASDAQ ETF. Look at NASDAQ ETF, done fantastically well, or for that matter, S&P has done really well over the last 10 years. And there are opportunities, there are ETFs, feeder ETFs in India that you can use. Futures in the stock markets, I mean, NSE, a lot of people don't realize. NSE has a listed futures,
US futures.
On the US markets. So that is clearly an under-penetrated area, that is a little bit of a regret, because more people should allocate a little bit more, because we are too concentrated on one asset class.
On our home market, perhaps. Final thoughts, Amrita, with you as well. And any recommendations, ideas, maybe funds that people can read and study more about, and then decide for themselves.
No, I think that there has been a lot of activity in the last 1 year in terms of discovering new strategies. So one segment that has really done well over the course of the volatility in the markets is to look at funds that are long shorts. You know, so through them you are able to at least protect on the downside the risk aspect of things, and there are a bunch of them in India, whether you look at one of the long-standing fund that Avendus runs, or
this is long short fund,
absolutely, or you look at DSP Merrill runs, Blackstone runs a fund, and there is Edel that has a fund. So long short also as a category, I think that's one that, you know, as volatility is going to be part of, you know, our lives going forward, and there have to be multiple strategies by which you can create your portfolio, and getting into long shots or a hedge fund as an alternate asset class will really help to get some protection overall.
All right, I think this has been a very interesting, enriching conversation. Yeah. Thank you very much to both of you for joining in and giving us some insights into what the rich have been thinking and what maybe they ought to think as they're looking at their portfolios and wealth this year. Thanks very much for joining us on the show, and thanks to you viewers as well for tuning in this week. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I-U-P-A-D-H-Y-A-Y. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.